Lone Ranger. Fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, Chris and I are joined by our esteemed. Today was steamed,
yeah,
actually.
Today was steaming.
Producer Shecky Feldstein.
Is that because I'm so hot coming in the cold air? Then the
Too
the,
hot.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot.
Yeah. No, I meant like pissed, steamed, like mad at us because we always get it wrong.
Because
what we do, because what Shecky's got us on a routine now. We did a dry run there right before we went on air here, and you kept tripping up, so it wasn't me. It was you.
It's always my fault.
But hey, Shecky, it is our first time, and we will get better.
It's my be gentle. It's my first time.
Somehow I don't believe that.
Hey, you know
none
what?
Of it. None of it.
Hey, you know what? We almost had Bitterman. John Bitterman. He was going to come on the show tonight, but apparently he had the Bitterman Society to attend to.
Yeah, they have their...
he has.
Their weekly meeting?
He had his weekly meeting. Yeah. Just the one person, right?
He got so. fed up having to come to our schedule.
In his car in the parking lot of McDonald's.
That's right.
Eating a large fry.
Yeah.
In the dark.
Complaining about the cost of it.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good to me, actually. Yeah. I want to
say that. He did say he's going to try to come by next week, though.
All right.
We'll see if it actually happens.
I'm sure it will, because Bitterman, if Bitterman is nothing, he's... I'm not sure what he is. All right. Listen, let's move on to the show. Let's get into our first feature every week is, of course, Chris Owen tackling the daunting task of taking the listenership through the comics that are coming out this week to your local comic book shop. But first, we're going to get Shecky to read a sponsor.
Absolutely. So new this week, brought to us by Halloween, the time of year when wearing colorful spandex around children rewards you with candy and not a prison sentence.
Hey.
Okay, so the first one I have up this week is, I don't know what to say about this.
You look very flustered now, Chris.
I'm not flustered. I'm just confused. It kind of looks like a bunch of giant rabbit turds dressed up as...
You just say turds,
yeah.
Not nerds.
No, turds with a T. Dressed up as superheroes, flying around fighting your normal superheroes from Marvel. It's called Marvel Sumsum. I think that's how you say it. It's T-S-U-M-T-S-U-M.
Wow.
Marvel Sumsum. Before I pass this off to you, I have to read to you the synopsis of what this
the
is all
synopsis,
about.
Shecky.
I can't wait for the synopsis.
When an intergalactic shipping crate fell to Earth from outer space and space and crash landed on the rooftop of an apartment complex in Brooklyn, three of the building's tenant, yada yada yada, its contents of this thing, a handful of adorable rotund creatures, the Sumsum. Or Tsum-Tsum. After seeing the Avengers battling the villainous Ultron on TV, the Tsum-Tsum were somehow able to alter their own appearances and abilities, mimicking those of the Avengers.
Whoa.
Sounds like the Beyonder or like the Super Skrull. After years of patiently being super fans, Holly, Dunk, and Bert finally had the superhero muscle they needed to become their own super team.
Whoa.
So you've got a bunch of these... flying turds battling villainous type people. You know what? This looks like a great kids book, but man, I don't know why it's not in the kids section. It's you get like angry green turd that looks like the Hulk, and the red turd that looks like Daredevil, and the spider turd and Captain America turd.
Oh, thanks, Chris. You know what? They almost look more like minion-y. Turdy kind minions. Of,
but is there a turd burglar amongst them?
Turd burglar.
Sweet. You know what? This is up to number 3 already, which has broken all expectations at Marvel, I'm sure. Tsum Tsum, number 3, available at your local comic book shop today.
If you're interested in flying superhero turds, this is the one to get.
Yeah. No doubt.
No doubt. So, you know, I'm going to rag on Marvel here. So Marvel,
rag on
them. So Marvel's got flipping Tsum Tsum,
uh-huh,
which is nothing.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, they have their new Champions book that came out last week. It's got, like, not Supergirl, Ms. Marvel. And
I heard they were trying to get Supergirl.
And they've got a version of the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So they realize that this is going to be a big book, so why not publish old copies of the old Champions,
yeah,
as reprints,
sure,
that has nothing to do with the current Champions.
Because
the old Champions has Hercules, Iceman, Ghost Rider, Black Widow, Doc Strange is in the Defenders.
That's right. Just testing.
And the Angel. So they decided to go ahead and publish reprints of the old Champions, which looks like it might actually be fun, but has nothing to do with the new Champions. So I don't get it.
Wow.
Like, what's going on?
There's that nice recreation of that 1975 Champions cover with Herc coming at you strong.
Yeah.
Right,
it's
at the foreground.
Cover. Great cover.
And, I don't know, Chris. Yeah, you're right. It sounds like it's some sort of, you know, related money grab.
It's related but not related, so what's the point? Like, hey, remember the Champions? Remember when they actually used to publish good Champions comics?
Wow.
That didn't have Cyclops and Ms. Marvel and Nova in it? Remember when the old Champions with Ghost Rider and Hercules in it? Remember the good stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's a taste of what it used to be like, but you can't have that.
No.
Instead, you get Tsum Tsum.
Tsum Tsum.
Yeah.
Hey, Champions, No Time for Losers is available at your local comic book shop today.
Okay, speaking of losers, great segue.
Speaking of losers,
welcome to Comic Culture.
Yeah.
The radio show of the Champions. The local comic book shop.
It seems to me that Marvel is just pushing every possible loser title out there.
You know, Shecky, I'm going to interject here.
We have to.
I'm not sure if you poured Coca-Cola into Chris's beverage there or something else, because he's on a bit of a tirade today.
Young Dylan was wandering around with some sort of mysterious package
potion
in his package.
Right.
And who knows what may have been spiked in Chris's drink.
Okay, yeah. So here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
So you remember that 2-bit character that appeared in Spider-Man like 30 years ago?
Yeah, let me guess.
That nobody cared about?
The Burglar.
Yeah, pretty close. The Prowler.
The Prowler.
Turd Burglar. Turd Burglar Part 2, The Prowler.
Yeah.
So remember that character that nobody cared about then? Well, now he has his own comic.
Issue number 78, Amazing Spider-Man, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thanks.
Right. There we go. The Brainiac over here. Brought one over.
Yeah. So for those of you who want to speculate on it, go ahead and find that. What's that issue number?
Issue number 78.
78.
Amazing Spider-Man.
There you go. Amazing Spider-Man. So now you can get the Prowler. Okay, but what was he in since then? How many issues?
Like, what has 12? He done for me
most?
Lately?
He was in an issue that Todd McFarlane did. I remember that.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it was Eric Larson. It was around that era.
Might have been Frank Cho.
Frank Cho was not around back then.
Ernie Chan.
Ernie Chan, what? Between doing issues of the Savage Sword of Conan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Prowler number 1, which apparently it's a clone conspiracy tie-in.
Oh.
You know what? Who cares? That's what I got to say.
Right on, Chris.
Prowler number 1.
Hey, guys, check out Prowler number 1 at your local comic book shop. Walk up and say, hey, that clown on Comic Culture told me not to buy this crap.
And here's another thing.
And then storm out.
Here's another thing that nobody cares about. Annuals. Punisher number 1, annual. Here's another thing. Jerry Conway, who's been around for forever, wrote the Punisher Annual number 1. It's got a great cover. I'll give it that. Other than that, it does have a parental advisory. So,
you know, swearing.
That's always good for kids at Halloween time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Punisher number 1 Annual is available at your local comic book shop. But, hey, don't be giving that out as a trick-or-treat to the kids, because it is not for kids.
And it'll bankrupt you.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's at your local comic book shop, though.
All these comics that I'm ragging on, and
your local comic book shop. You know, to tell you the truth, I'm not even sure you should walk in today. Maybe give the guys a little rest this week.
Okay, here is a book that I can at least somewhat back.
All right,
Batman Detective Comics number 943.
Whoa, Shecky, I notice a pattern here. He jumps over to the dark side, the DC side, and all of a sudden things are rosy. Well, all of a sudden, whoa, guys, look at this book.
Okay, but you know what? I'm not getting
a pulse
reprints or flying turds.
Hey, why don't you tell us what you are getting?
All right, here's what you are getting: Batman Detective Comics, by James Tynion and Alvaro Martinez, and this is the start of The Victim Syndicate Part 1.
The Victim Syndicate Part 1.
This has a tie-in with Batwoman as well, so it's a great storyline, and if you do want to jump on the story, this is the perfect time to do it.
Chris, if you could go out on a date down to the local coffee shop.
Hold on a second now. Let me get out my pen and paper here.
Young kid. You know, write this, learn, listen and learn.
Learn.
If you can go out on a date down to your local coffee shop, would you take Batwoman or Catwoman?
Oh, that's a great question.
With you.
Well, here's the thing. Batwoman is doesn't like guys.
Good for her.
So
God bless her.
I would have to say I would take Catwoman.
Yeah. You know what, though? You'd have a lot more in common with Batwoman, because apparently neither do you.
not so sure if it works like that.
No?
No.
Okay. You could say, hey, you know, we have the same interests.
Same thing in common.
Wait a minute. Not that it's going to do any good, because nobody's going to go to a local comic book shop this week, but... Yeah. Thanks to Owen. Detective 943 is available at your local comic book shop.
All right. Next up, Batgirl number 4. This is, of course, by Hope Larson and Raphael Albuquerque. I do like this book. I do like the art
a lot.
Yes.
If you can go down to your local lollipop stand, ice cream stand.
Yeah. No, you take, lollipop stand.
Would you take Batgirl or Supergirl with you?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I would, probably Supergirl.
Is one of them not like guys, too?
I think I never know.
What are you trying to say?
I don't know. I'm admitting I don't know. I don't know anything.
Okay. So if you could go down to the local lollipop stand with Betty or Veronica, which one would you take?
I don't know. I think I'd go with Jughead. Because he got the best food.
I feel like I'm talking to Jughead right now.
Yeah, hey, Jughead. How many female listeners do you think we have? How many think we have at the end of this show?
That reminds me of Kids in the Hall. Did you ever watch that show, Kids in the Hall?
No, but go ahead.
A great Canadian TV show, sketch comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the father comes up to the son and, so Billy, how many girls did you talk to today? Zero. How many girls did you talk to yesterday? Zero. You know what zero plus zero equals?
Nice. Well, hey, listen, I forgot to remind everybody that Batgirl number 4 is available at your local comic book shop.
All right. Vigilante. Here's another character that DC is bringing back from, you know, obscurity.
Uh-huh.
So Vigilante had a small run back in the, you know, 1980s. But, of course, Vigilante, the original Vigilante was around years ago. Wasn't
Chuck Bronson the original Vigilante?
I don't know. Was he?
Chuck, you mean Charles?
Yeah, Charles. Oh. Him and I, we went way back.
You're close.
Anyways, Vigilante number 1. So for those of you who want to speculate and spend all kinds of money at your local comic book shop, that's the one to do.
Attaboy. Oh, and he's turning it around, Chuck. Yeah, he's turning it around. He's trying to drum up business for the local comic book shop.
Oh, I'm building.
And Vigilante number 1 is a good place to start. It's available at your local comic book shop.
Okay, so next up, I'm going to be honest.
How many of these things do you have?
Let me keep going here.
All right.
Next up, I'm going to be honest here.
Oh, you've been lying to us so far.
Yeah, so far.
No,
time to turn a leaf.
Really honest.
Okay, really honest. Super honest.
As opposed to honest. I'm going to be completely honest here. I'm holding in my comic a book I haven't actually read.
No, don't be too honest, Chris.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you.
You can fake it, Chris.
I'm going to tell you that I really like the look of it.
You know why?
It's a good looking book.
It's a good looking book.
And this is called Kim and Kim, and it's up to issue number 4. And I kind of wish I had seen number 1. Published by Black Mask Studios. And I do like the art. It's an interesting art style. Some pages kind of remind me of a Brian Lee O'Malley, Scott Pilgrim type thing. You know, it looks like it's a fun kind of book to check out.
Kim and Kim. Is it about a variety store?
I don't think it's that Kim.
Oh, that Kim. Wasn't there a TV show now, the Kim?
Yeah. Kim.
Hey, which reminds me of, you know, we have to give a shout out to Charlie Kim, you know, for those great comments
that's right.
And posting
Charlie
up on
Kim.
The site. Charlie, keep up the good work.
And thanks for listening, Charlie.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And Charlie, you got to be on the show and just run interference for me from these guys.
Hey, criticize us to our faces, you know, not just after.
Hey, listen, Kim and Kim number 4 is available at your local comic book shop.
Perfect. All right. And
is this the last one?
This is the last one, and this one is probably my favorite book of all the ones that I have talked about tonight.
I'm going to guess why.
Why?
Frank Cho.
Frank Cho, in fact,
wow.
Latest issue, number 2 of Skyborn from Boom Studios. This guy can do no wrong. Frank Cho is an amazing artist.
I don't know. You know back that up.
Go ahead.
Okay, give me that book for a second. I need it to prove my point.
I'm not done talking about it.
I need it to prove my point.
All right, go ahead.
Okay?
Go ahead.
Well, what book am I holding up here, Shecky?
I don't know. Some Girl.
Yeah. Okay. No, you know, totally the wrong guy to ask.
I see the back cover and there's a girl.
I like his answer. What book am I holding? Some Girl.
Yeah.
I know my point.
You know who she looks like.
She looks like that girl, Skyborn.
If you're not going to say it, I'm not going to say it. Forget it.
What are you going to say? What are you going to say?
Well, you know. The vet. You know.
What?
The vet.
The vet?
What's the vet?
The vet?
The veterinarian.
The veterinarian. What veterinarian? What
Frank Cho.
What are you
Brandy.
Yes, that is true. Yes.
You know what?
Right.
I saw that, picked it up, I go, wait a minute, that's Brandy.
So you're talking about Brandy.
Liberty Meadows. Yeah, but I didn't want to say it because, you know, but my point is.
Oh, so that's good. That's
the point is he draws one girl.
Oh. He doesn't draw one girl.
He draws two. Okay.
He draws Shauna and. No, draws three. He draws three. He draws Shauna, the She Devil, Wonder Woman, and Brandy.
Brandy.
He does it extremely well.
I'll give him that.
Okay, but honestly, I read the last issue. I haven't read this one yet.
Mm-hmm.
I read the last issue of Skyborn, number 1. Awesome book. I loved it. I love the pacing of the book. I love the storytelling. I love the art. The concept behind the book is that, at least in the last one, they have found Excalibur, the sword Excalibur, and now they're...
Like Merlin Excalibur.
Okay. They found the actual sword, and now they're trying to... It's like a modern-day story, and they're trying to go around, and all these people realize how powerful it actually is, and so all these different groups are trying to get their hands on it.
Right.
Great book.
Who pulled it from the stone, Chris?
That would be King Arthur.
Chris?
Oh, good answer.
Thank you.
All I want to know is she trying to get her hands on it?
She's trying to get her hands on your sword.
Your Excalibur.
Okay.
Your Excalibur.
Listen, Skyborn number 2 is available at your local comic book shop today by the great Frank Cho.
The great Frank Cho.
And Chris, I think, hit on 2 or 3 great releases this week, and there's tons more at your local comic book shop, so please head on in.
All right. After that diatribe, I realized I started out a little salty there.
You did.
I know.
Salty
okay,
Owen.
But I can't. I wanted to start from the lowest of the low and go high.
And then just build.
Build. Yeah. Right. Build.
Crescendo.
Started with a pucker.
That's right.
Might end with a smile.
All right.
Nice.
Let's have a quick musical interlude.
Sounds like a Friday night at Chris's house.
How would you know? Yeah. All right. Let's have a little interlude.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good job, Shecky. Hey, listen, that brings us to the section of the show that we call Industry News, and Shecky Feldstein has a sponsor.
You know I do. Industry News Part 1 brought to us by the upcoming Turd Burglar comic, where during typical superhero fights, the Turd Burglar makes off with the loot.
Mm. The what?
Turd Burglar.
No, never mind. Okay, hey, listen, so let's talk about it's early.
It's early.
It's early, yep. But the early results, the early polls, and then we're not talking about the U.S. election.
No,
we're talking about something much more important. It's the Doctor Strange release, which I'm hearing so far really positive things.
Strong,
so
positive.
So, as my kid calls him, Eggs Benedict Cumberbun.
Are you sure that's your kid or you?
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. All right, you're on to me.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing fantastic things. So we were having actually a discussion on the way to hockey today. And my older guy, 17, right? So he's in the great, you know, film consuming age.
Right.
They love that
right.
stuff.
Yep.
And we're talking a little bit about Doctor Strange. And it's funny, I got his perspective from a young man's perspective, and he says it has to be great because of Cumberbatch. Because Cumberbatch is such a great actor and a great character actor and a great presence on the screen. He goes, you know what? I go, well, no, the story has to be good. He goes, no, Cumberbatch, just because he's in it, he's going to make it a great movie.
Right.
It's funny that kind of view.
Yeah. Okay, I got two things.
Two things.
One, how does your 17-year-old kid know that he's a great actor and such?
He's watched every one of the, he watched that Turing movie on the
Alan
computer
Turing
thing.
Yeah.
And he's watched every single of the BBC Sherlock.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Okay. So he's seen Cumberbatch. Yeah.
And second of all, I know that everything you guys talk about in your vehicle is just about you telling him, hey, when we go to McDonald's tonight, tell your mom that it was your idea.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, Shecky, it doesn't even get into the parking lot. There's a place near home that we pull over and throw all the garbage away at. So that's just between you and me.
Nice.
I know she doesn't listen to the show.
No,
thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
All right. Hey,
so it's a good film.
Yeah, so that's what I'm hearing. I'm asking you guys. You guys are, you know,
I heard great
connected.
Things as well.
Yeah?
And I heard that he does a great job at portraying, like, it's a good segue into that whole mystical arts section of Marvel. And they said that it couldn't have been done by, you know, someone better and that it might open up things for the Avengers and beyond.
Yeah. Well, that's what I kind of wanted to talk about right now is it's funny. At the local comic book shop level, at our local comic book shop, just, you know what, this is actually an absolute perfect segue. Young Owen over here.
Yep.
Unbeknownst to him.
Oh, I don't even know what he's talking about.
You don't even know, Chris.
No.
Unbeknownst to him, has hit the nail on the head, has taken the pulse of the situation, has put his finger in it.
Wow.
Or on it.
He
put his finger on it.
Oh, on it. Oh. Okay.
In his treatment of the new this week. And what I mean by that is, even at the local comic book shop level, at our local comic book shop, from the patrons coming in, they have been poo-pooing Marvel lately. They have been not happy with the Marvel product. They have been flocking to DC.
Right.
Okay. So what I'm getting at here in a roundabout way is
I'm right.
Is yeah.
Perfect. Well, calm down a little bit there.
Just want to make sure.
I'm saying with Marvel, they've had such a run of success with that whole cosmic Avengers franchise.
Right.
And you know, and I gotta admit, I was a little bit disappointed with that last Cap movie,
Civil War.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask: is that whole thing gone a little stale? Is
right.
it gone a little old?
Right.
Is this the perfect interjection of some new blood, new direction, new energy into the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Right.
That's what I'd like.
Right.
To
well,
know.
I agree.
Realistically, the whole Netflix shows, like the series in the past 2 years, that's been new lifeblood as well, right?
Yeah,
that's
and some been Marvel on like properties. That, I guess you're
it's
right.
It's a long
yeah.
form of a film, right? Mm-hmm. So having Daredevil do 12 episodes at an hour or whatever, that's long form of one of their characters. So now, and it's a lot grittier, darker, and they've got this whole world now of like Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And then from that, the step up is now to Doc Strange. So like they really have like three different levels, you know, when you look at it. And then their film, you know, what is that, like 7 years, 8 years of expansiveness?
Yep,
you know, so, like, this is just the next step.
I would say that the... So, here's the thing. The problem with Marvel right now is how they have split apart from the rest of their characters. So they're trying to not concentrate on the mutants because because Fox owns all the X-Men and all the mutant style titles. Yeah. Sony owns Spider-Man, you know, but they're working with that.
Right.
So what you're getting in the comic books is Marvel's going to the well of all these ne'er-do-well characters that or
ne'er-do-well
or old characters that nobody cares about because they need to somehow drive up those characters
for their movies.
For their movies. Now, having said that, not that Doctor Strange is a ne'er-do-well. Doctor Strange is one of the original characters. But it's an untapped commodity because they don't really know how well it's going to do because it's a little heady, it's a little hard to understand because it's mysticism.
Yeah.
It's talking about third and fourth and fifth dimensions.
Nice.
It's a little bit science, it's really science fiction-y. It's hard to wrap your head around. It's not a guy that grows tall or a guy who can, you know, grow strong or something like that. It's about a guy that, you know, has the power to alter reality.
Uh-huh.
And that's hard to understand as far as movies. Yeah. So if they can pull that off, they can pull anything off.
Right. Well, I think they were emboldened by the fact that their Guardians project worked.
Right.
Because what that proved is some C-list comic book characters can be turned into A-list movie characters. And so from what I'm reading here, from what I'm listening to you, because I listen to you, Chris, because, you know, it's not really saying much, but I will admit you know more about comics than I do.
I don't know about that.
And it ain't saying much.
I don't know about that.
So, I guess what I'm asking is so if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly,
right.
If I'm turning the tarot cards over in the right way, I'm getting the fact that all the great Marvel characters that are not owned by Disney film studios are not getting the proper comic book treatment. So all their they should be running their comic book franchise like they own every single one of them.
Right.
No, let me take this the wrong way.
Beep,
they,
beep, beep,
pop, boop, boop, they beep. Should be running their comic book enterprise like they have the movie rights to every single comic book enterprise.
Absolutely, but they're not. Because
they're not.
Realizing that they're trying to not make those comic books as popular.
Yeah.
Which is why there's no Fantastic Four comic book right now. The first
Marvel,
the first.
How does that work?
Right.
Yeah.
And there's no comic book. Right.
Oh.
I don't get it. So instead they're churning out all these new characters like the Prowler.
Is that a strong arm tactic against Fox?
I think they're trying to strong arm them, but I don't think it's going to work. I think that people are still going to go out. People know who the X-Men are by now. They're going to go out and they're going to see the latest Logan movie. And because of the success of the Deadpool movie, now Logan has an R rating.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little gorier, a little grittier. You know, it's Hugh Jackman's last foray as Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman. I'm going to miss Hugh Jackman.
It's his last foray as Wolverine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what they're going to do after that, if they're going to have to reboot it again for the umpteenth time.
Which is just, you know, it's weird thinking about it.
Weird.
Hugh Jackman started X-Men, I think the first one was like 2001, 15 years ago, something like that.
It's a good run.
It's great for him. And then Tony Stark, what was it, 2008 or 2009?
Somewhere around there. Good run for him.
It's almost like that first class of, you know, the early superheroes that were mainstays with their characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Almost now that they're going past, let's say, their characters' age range. Yeah. And, like, what's the next wave going to bring in? You know, because eventually Patrick Stewart won't be able to play,
This is Patrick Stewart's last time as
Charles Xavier,
Charles Xavier.
Just get another bald
Ian McKellen
guy.
Can't get another. Ian McKellen won't be, you know, Magneto, past this. Or whatever.
Yep.
So it's just, do they phase them all out together, do you think? Like, in other words, can Patrick Stewart be Charles Xavier in another movie where they recast Wolverine as the next Wolverine, or do they like stay attached and they have to phase out together?
I think that I would imagine what they'll do is they'll just relaunch it again as all new actors, right? I don't think you can have some new guy as Wolverine and still have what's her name's Jennifer, what's her head?
Lopez
as Lawrence,
as
Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique. right? You can't have all these people and then have a couple of like mainstays come back. And I don't even think Jennifer Lawrence even wants to come back as Mystique.
Right.
Her last performance in the last X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, so what you're saying on an ensemble cast like that, it would be trickier to switch half the actors and not the other half, because then it would make it obvious.
Exactly.
It would be better to go from like right off the bat and just
start
do them all.
Scratch. Start from scratch. But anyways, getting back to what you're talking about for Doctor Strange.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a great movie. I think that it's going to be interesting how they are opening up a whole multitude of more storylines with this whole cosmic, mystical. Mystical, fantasy oriented character like Doctor Strange.
Hey, I have to put a plug into the Big B Book Club.
Oh,
I've been
really?
Told to do this because we had a book club meeting last week with Michael Walsh. I forget the book they covered. They're going to kill me, but
that's good that you remember.
It did really well. It was at a local coffee shop, and so call the Big B shop and find out when the next Big B book club is, because we're doing the graphic novel Doctor Strange: Sorcerer's Supreme. Origins.
Nice.
I forget the name of the Doctor Strange movie, but it's a Doctor Strange graphic novel that we're covering.
Cool.
So, and it's a good
time. Is it
an
old one?
No, it's a current one. I think it's called Origins, Secret Origins, or no, not the Oath. It's like a current one.
Oh, okay.
But good time to just chat, have a Java, and talk Doctor Strange to people.
Nice.
And I think it's
hold on. What happens with that? Because this is our way of championing the local comic book shop.
Yeah,
I think it's a bunch of like-minded, just comic savvy individuals.
I think it was. They said there was.
Dylan.
Yeah, there was 15 or 14 people at the last one.
Where do they meet, and how does that work?
There's a coffee shop on Concession in Hamilton.
Yeah, and they get together, and it's kind of like a book club where, you should have all have read this trade,
by
this date, so maybe a few weeks out, so it's pretty easy enough.
And then you all get there and you discuss it.
Yeah.
Cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
And the last one, the creator, Michael Walsh, the artist to the book, came to the
very cool.
To the thing.
And I can only assume it's, because I think it's, November 10th?
Thursday, I think so.
So it's in a couple weeks. So it's right after the release weekend.
Of the movie.
Yeah.
So it gives you time to see the movie
and read
the book.
Novel.
So it's almost like, I'm guessing, bring the like-minded people there, discuss the differences, and kind of go over what you did and what you didn't like theatrically versus, literarily. Is that a word, literally?
Sure is. I like it. I like that word.
Like, I find these sort of clubs probably do really well and spike a lot of interest right around the movie release time for when, the book is to be read.
All right.
Cool.
It sounds great. It sounds like a great initiative.
I like it.
Hey, listen, right from there, let's talk, because we're in the week lead up, Chris, to Halloween.
I know already. Yet
can't believe it.
And Halloween is next week. We'll
what are you dressing up as this year?
I'm going to dress up as a Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
What are you dressing up as, Shaq?
As Walt.
Nice.
How about you there, Owen?
I thought I'd go as Captain America.
Captain America.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay then.
All right.
All right.
Interesting.
So anyway,
I don't know where we go from there.
Just curious.
That's amazing. Let's take pictures, selfies of each other, and send it to each
other
as a group.
Please don't. I'm worried about what you'd send me.
Right. Mm. No, but the Halloween thing. Is here's the thing. Okay, I cannot pick one day of the year that somehow in some way should be more exploited by the comic book industry that is the least exploited by the comic book industry than Halloween is. What the hell is going wrong with Halloween and the comic book industry? We cannot sink Halloween and the comic book industry as much as we try.
You know why?
Why?
Laziness.
Laziness?
Yeah, because you know what?
What?
This is something that really, this is a grassroots, retailer-owned thing that has to happen, where people need to support things like costume contests and Halloween parties and
which we have to give a big shout out to the Silver Snail
in Toronto. Those boys always had that Halloween party
They're like the only guys.
Are they still doing it?
I don't know.
I saw a mention from someone on Facebook
a
few days ago.
So there's one place, but really there's how many
there
comic
should be
stores?
Stuff done in store locally.
So
well, we're trying to do this What we're taking is we're taking old Free Comic Book Day books.
Yeah.
And we're packaging them up into little bundles of 12, I think.
Right, right.
And we're offering them to the customers at, like, at cost.
Right.
Right.
So like a dollar or
no, whatever. No, 30 cents each or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I meant a dollar for the whole bundle.
Well, 12 of them.
Oh.
Yeah, like...
We're not paying them to take them, Chris.
Oh. Yeah. 12, like Free Comic Book Day stuff where you pay 30 cents each for free. Anyway...
You pay 30 cents each for a comic?
Yeah, for Free Comic Book Day stuff, yeah.
You lose a lot of money there, eh?
I know. It's expensive. It's an expensive day.
Oh.
It's an expensive promo day. But our motto there, our sign on the street says, give comics, not cavities.
Right.
So we're trying to go, hey... You know, you can afford to give away, maybe to the kids you know or the neighborhood kids at least. Don't give them a comic this year. So don't give them a cavity this year. Give them a comic.
So what we should be doing is holding contests and having more Halloween-type stuff going on rather than just...
Well, what's wrong with trying to get the local public to give away comics from their door?
There's nothing wrong with it. But instead of, why don't you put down... on your sign instead of give comics not cavities.
Hey, party.
Come in and get your free comics to give away to Halloween.
Yeah, that's true too.
And your free
because give comics not cavities
and not comics.
It sounds like somebody's going to come in and have to spend $4 a pop on each comic.
Yeah, you know what? I guess we never did that right, but I guess I see your point.
I'm just saying, like,
I see your point. No, we've worded it correctly in our advertising.
Okay,
I didn't word it correctly.
I'm
here.
Just saying.
This is what you need to word. Come and get your comics with some free candy.
Yo, word.
That's
word.
What you need. Yeah. Word. That'll get the kids coming.
Well, we are giving away comics on Halloween, but that's not a traditionally busy day
because
all the kids are out trick-or-treating.
Are you giving away candy?
And that's what I'm... That's my point.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that retailers need...
Yeah, we are giving away candy.
Well, then I'll be there.
Retailers need
like
to
last year.
Get in touch with, like, you know, the Spectator or the Toronto Star or something.
Yeah.
Say, look, we're having a giant costume
contest. No, it's a good point, Chris, and it's not just us. Like you say, it's all comic book shop retailers across North America that are dropping the ball on Halloween and comic books.
And so I also think that not just retailers, that publishers need to push this more.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there was that aborted effort for the second Free Comic Book Day of a year,
right?
Of the
That's
year,
what
remember?
I was gonna bring up,
a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it just kind of fell flat.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know why this thing isn't working.
I got to say one thing. I feel we're a little handcuffed being up here in Canada.
Uh-huh.
Because October 31st is notoriously not warm in Canada. Whereas if you were in a southern state, you know, you could almost entice your comic-going populace, costume party, parking lot party, you know, a little barbecue cook-off, whatever, for dinner, because, you know, the sun goes down the
That's
same
right.
time everywhere in North America. But, you do that, and it's nice and warm out.
Uh-huh.
It's not like it's raining and it's 2 degrees out and you're freezing cold.
Here's what you do.
Here's what you do.
Oh,
here
we go.
You need to get a couple of professional cosplayers. You need to get some girl dressed as Wonder Woman and some... You know, sort of
girls,
you know,
in a bikini. Yeah, we get it, Chris. We get it.
And you need to get some guy dressed up like Conan.
Conan,
some guy in a loincloth. Yeah, we loincloth.
Right.
Yeah. You know what you're into.
Yeah, and then going out on
have
the
like
street.
Get red beads.
Yeah.
Put them in the back room door.
That's right.
And
go have them just parade up and down the street and say, "Get your free comics at Big B." Right.
All right.
Have a giant billboard sign attached to them.
Yeah.
Or have them holding a sign.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I like it. You know what? I think Owen might be onto something. All right. Well, anyway.
I don't like it because I feel like it means you're going to stick me in a loincloth and stick my cold
no,
butt
no,
out
no,
there.
You're in the Wonder Woman outfit.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, baby. Man. Now you're talking my language. As Chris says, I think we need a cleanse.
Yeah. Well, listen, all the listeners out there that are in the industry, let's get our act together here, guys, and fix Halloween.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sheck, do you have some sort of... Please tell me you got some good crants.
Oh, no, I got something more relative.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
The only hope for freedom and democracy is...
Fighting for your rights and the old red, white, and blue.
Okay, stop a war with love. Really? Wonder Woman, it does everything.
Now, she can stop a war with
now
love.
Now, I know that both of you were envisioning me dancing my booty on the sidewalk cold, rainy, misty October night.
Kind of.
Yeah?
Shake your booty.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah. So, Shek, you got a sponsor for us?
Yes, I do, Chris. So this part of industry news, I don't really know which part or section it is, but industry news, this section, brought to us by Quentin Tarantino, who vows that if he is accepted for the Deadpool sequel, then it will also have an old-school kicking soundtrack.
Okay, before we get to Deadpool, I need to talk about something here. So, we talked about Wonder Woman's great segue.
Is that $20 I owe you, Chris?
Great segue. We didn't talk about this last week, so something very important happened in the world with comic books, and we need to talk about that, and that is Wonder Woman has been named an honorary ambassador to the United Nations. This happened on October the 21st, 2016, in which they had Linda Carter and I don't remember her name now.
Gal Gadot,
the new Wonder Woman. Both were there, as well as the head of DC, president of DC. I don't remember her name now. Jeanette Kahn? No, that's the old president.
Julia Schwartz?
I don't know. That's a guy. Uh-huh. Anyways, they're all at the UN, and they were celebrating female empowerment and Wonder Woman, and talking about just how trying to strengthen Wonder Woman and all that kind of stuff.
You know what? I'm so glad that female empowerment is making you laugh.
Yeah, it seems to be making Shecky laugh.
It's just, well, it's boobery.
Yeah. Julia Schwartz is a guy. Keep going.
Listen, that's fantastic. I read that too. I thought it was fantastic as well. I'm wondering, you know, just like from a perspective of, you know, how, like, especially North America, America per se, right? And this North America, because we're cousins, you know, we take this stuff to heart. We take popular culture, comic book culture, all that kind of stuff to heart. I'm wondering, like, in more traditional, like, 'cause the UN is a world body,
right?
And it encompasses and it involves and it includes countries that are much more traditional in terms of their approach to, you know, philosophy of life and all that kind of stuff. I wonder what they think of Wonder Woman being named an ambassador.
Yeah, I don't know.
If they think that's a waste of time or not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. I think it's fantastic. I'm just wondering if the UN, you know, does the world embrace that or not?
I would hope so.
Yeah, so
I would hope so. But anyways, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a good segue from what Shecky was playing. But speaking of the segue,
because when Shecky said that the Deadpool, what's his name, Tarantino?
Quentin.
So I'm thinking you get Freddie the Hammer Williamson in in Deadpool movie.
How much commission has he given you for if he gets another role in something big?
You don't want to know.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
It's between me and the hammer.
There you go.
Anyway, I think that's fantastic.
So what we're talking about here, for those of you that aren't in the know, Tim Miller, who was the director on the first Deadpool movie, he was directing the second one and has quit, citing creative differences with Ryan Reynolds. I guess apparently after the success of the first movie, Ryan Reynolds was given some extra power.
Was Ryan Reynolds the first time? Just an actor?
Just an actor.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And now he's an actor slash...
Now he's an actor slash creative power.
Uh-huh.
Maybe partial producer.
So he went walking around like he owned the set? Is that what he did?
Well,
and
no,
then this
not Miller necessarily.
Guy got pissed off?
Apparently...
That's what happened.
Tim Miller wanted to take sort of the character off into a little bit of a different direction, and
Tim Miller wanted to direct because he's the director.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
And then this actor, Jackman's protege.
Hold on.
He comes in and comes riding in and says, "No, you know, I'm the actor, but I'm also going to tell you how to direct."
Ryan Reynolds wanted to have the movie be the same jokey kind of feeling that the first one had.
Uh-huh.
And Tim Miller wanted to take it into a different direction.
Right.
So,
like, make it more serious and dark and...
I don't know, maybe. But apparently wanted to take it to a different place, and so that's where the creative differences...
But the reason the first one worked was because it was just campy and jokey. And,
right. So is that bad? I don't know.
It's just a difference of opinion, I guess. I don't know.
Well, okay, well, here, what does it say here? Hold on a second here. Let me... What does it say? Apparently, this tells me nothing.
Yeah.
But apparently, it was also on the casting of Cable as well.
Okay.
So there was differences there as well. So Tim Miller basically said, "I'm done with you. See you later."
So they got to get a new director.
I have to get a new director. So now there's a petition going. Well, it's a very small petition. As I read it this morning at whatever time it was, there was like 1,300 votes to try to get Quentin Tarantino to direct this new Deadpool movie.
Every young adult male would sign that. Just because, you know, they look at Tarantino like, oh, man, what a cool...
Yeah, tell me... You know,
I think Tarantino's dated, though. I don't think Tarantino would make a good movie. I don't think
so. You know what? Not Deadpool. It'd just be too much dialogue and nothing happening.
Well, this is the reason why. People are saying, well, Deadpool has a lot of dialogue that's funny and quick, and they're saying that Tarantino could write a lot of dialogue that's funny and quick as well. But you know what? Like, I don't... You can say that about anything for Tarantino, because Tarantino's a hot director, right? Like, everybody loves his stuff. You could say, well, he's going to do the next Batman movie. Oh, it'd be great. It'd be so cool.
Yeah,
it'd be
so cool.
I got it, though. No, what? You know what you need? You need to go a different direction. I say you get Woody Allen to do this.
Woody Allen.
Yes.
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen would do a great Deadpool. Like, you know, neurotic, psychotic, you know, that whole thing. Explores inner self and then his psychosis and stuff like that. I think that would work beautifully.
I picture a lot of bagel shops.
Yeah, stuff like that. Just self-doubt.
Young, nubile women.
Yeah, so I think that would work.
A lot of weird beige vests being worn by.
But, you know, that's just my opinion. I'm just one of many, I'm sure.
Yeah,
Differing opinions. But I don't know. Like, obviously, you have success doing one thing, you want to do it again.
Right. And that's what Hollywood's all about, capturing one thing, doing it, making a sequel, making even more money.
But here's
doing
the
it the same way. Doing it the
money.
Same way.
Yes.
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
When Hollywood has realized that you can only go so far with that.
I mean,
if you look at...
the law of diminishing returns.
Right.
Right.
What's that movie with the schmucks that go to Hollywood, go to Las Vegas, and they lose the guy?
Oh, don't tell me.
Weekend at Bernie's Vacation. I want to see
Dumb and Dumber.
I want to see that movie.
Weekend at Bernie's, I'm glad you brought it up, because that means next week, I might have to skip a week. Maybe not.
Uh-huh.
But the next time I'm on the show, there's going to be a lot of 80s music from Weekend at Bernie's.
No, he said Bernie's Vacation. So
Bernie's Vacation.
But we all know what it meant.
I want to see a Weekend at Bernie's Vacation is what I want to see.
Okay. All right.
But what I'm saying is, so the first two Hangover movies were pretty much the same.
Yeah.
The third one was different because they realized that you can't make three of the same movies and still have it be popular. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
anyways. I don't know. Anyway.
You know what? All I know is Mad TV... Will Sasso, late 90s, playing the great Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? And he was talking, I forget what the movie was, he's talking about a movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's doing the Arnold person.
Yeah.
It's this and this with the clone babies and the, you know. And it's like, the first movie is something, part three.
Uh-huh.
And his whole thing was, because you know, sequels make even more money, and trilogies make even more money. And he's going off.
So start at part three.
So, yeah, exactly. Because that's the format.
That didn't work so well for Bill Cosby and Leonard part six.
Nice.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Who ate my cookies?
All right, anyways, Deadpool. So the only thing about that was Deadpool, apparently James Gunn, who was the director for...
Jamie's got a gun!
Director for Guardians of the Galaxy. He has said that he's very disappointed in hearing that Tim Miller walked off the set because he as a director, he understands what it's like to have creative control and all that kind of stuff. Right. He was
Is that
very
him
sad.
Trying to make a statement now?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Deadpool, the new director, they're hiring. So listenership.
So drop off your resume
at your local comic book shop.
I've already got mine in.
All right.
Yeah.
On your way into perusing the new this week section.
All right.
Let's go to a musical interlude.
Another one already?
Because we got the next topic is a little bit weighty, and I want to be
weighty.
I want to be fresh.
All right. What do you got that's fresh for us there, Shecky?
Got anything fresh?
No. Do you have any Maestro Fresh West?
Just day olds over here.
Oh, right.
It's hot. Nothing
but day olds here. Yeah. It sounds like my... Anyways. Here we go. Still waiting. There you go.
He's a super dog. He's a super hero.
I'm a little bit embarrassed to ask, but what the hell do they say in that thing?
Crypto the Superdog.
Oh, Crypto. Crypto. Oh, that's called Crypto.
Over and over and over.
I thought that was a Power Rangers song.
No. No. Crypto the Superdog.
I'll be over here if you guys need me for the rest of the show.
Thanks, Walt. Walt.
Okay, that takes us into industry news part last. And we have a sponsor.
Part the final, brought to us by the next honorary UN spokesperson, Turd Burglar, who vows to strengthen international security.
You know what? I have to say that's probably one of Shecky's funniest bits ever. Ever. And if you think it wasn't that funny, well, there you go.
You haven't listened. If you don't think it wasn't that funny, you haven't listened to enough of Shecky.
Turd Burglar.
I got these guys paying for these bits.
We're going to put a Best of Shecky CD out. And you'll agree with us. That was his funniest bit. All right. Hey, listen. Hey, let's talk about some exciting news, potentially exciting news, potentially.
Can we talk about more about Turd Burglar?
Potentially game-changing news, actually. Let's talk about this news that AT&T might buy Warner Brothers.
Time Warner.
Well, excuse me. Time Warner. So AT&T might buy Time Warner.
Right.
Cool. What's it mean? What's it all about?
What does it mean? Like, I mean, okay, so Disney bought out Marvel a little while ago, and they also own Lucasfilm, which kind of all makes sense, right? Like, Disney's a...
Because they were all doing the same thing. They were all making content, right? So Disney was making dumbass cartoons that nobody else ever wanted to watch except grandparents.
Yeah.
The Lucasfilm was making Star Wars stuff that Star Wars guys wanted to watch. And then Marvel was making Marvel stuff that Marvel people wanted to watch.
Right.
And so they put all three of those groups together, but they were like-minded groups, and now they're cross-pollinating here and there where they can.
Cross-pollinating.
Yeah, and just kind of putting it all under one umbrella because all three are making content. So you have Angelina Jolie doing the movie that did really well with The Witch.
Maleficent.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you had Star Wars, and then you had Avengers. Those are all same company making all three of them, making tons of money, and it works.
Yep, hand over fist.
But here, what you have is basically a phone company.
Right.
Buying a kind of, a content.
So a phone company which doesn't have content, really.
Right.
But what they have is that multimedia and that.
Platform. They have platforms.
Telecommunications. They have platforms, right? Uh-huh. Which is very hand in hand with nowadays the streaming services.
They have Warner Brothers, which makes some content, but not really.
No, that's not AT&T. It's AT&T, and then there's Warner Brothers.
That's what I'm saying. AT&T, but I'm saying so. But in comparing all of them, Warner Brothers has some content, but not really. Like, they've got content, but there's different parties that are owning different things.
Different
directors, and, it's not a one streamlined kind of thing.
Well, they have all of DC. All of Warner Brothers.
Okay, and then Warner Brothers also has DC, which is a subsidiary, which also has all the DC, which has all the comic book stuff. But Warner Brothers makes movies besides comic books. They've got Village Roadshow or whatever it is and all that kind of stuff, right? So there's different content. But
doesn't Time Warner own NBC as well, or they used to?
They own one of them. I don't know which one it is.
It looks like from here, they've got something including like HBO and TNT and TBS, which HBO is ridiculous. That's almost a Netflix on its own. It's its own... Pay an additional amount of money to get this on demand on
with,
their online
with unique
services.
Content that only they do,
which is like high value production,
right?
So I mean, now you could start seeing some of these DC shows paralleling the Marvel Netflix on HBO.
Okay, so let's go this route. Let's go this route. So we know that
what do we know, Walt?
Okay, this is what I want to ask.
What do you want to ask?
Is this an avenue, is this a kind of an opportunity that presents itself for more content, and for us specifically, for more comic book content to be distributed and made because AT&T has platforms and networks that they can put this content on? So will this be good for Warner DC production stuff that can get the product out to new customers.
I don't think it's going to make any difference.
No?
I think it's going to be a little like a part one and two. AT&T will probably, because again, they're telecommunications, they'll probably try and start up a streaming service for a lot of these like content-related things once they acquire the product.
Uh-huh.
But then with HBO, so...
Like, wouldn't they make stuff for HBO? Like, okay, they're already doing that, I guess, right?
Yeah, see, the thing is, DC has a really good television, like, network already going. Like, their television profile is higher than Marvel's is, right?
Yeah.
But HBO, if they start getting better budgetary stuff, it's actually going to look Game of Thrones and Marvel Netflix as opposed to just sitcom-y, you know, Flash and Arrow.
So what you're saying is that these products, these shows, these properties can't exploit what AT&T would bring to the table in terms of platforms and telephones and cell phones.
Yeah, other than cash, I can't see AT&T doing anything. I mean, what hasn't been done already? I mean, we already have comics on the internet. We already have games and all that kind of stuff.
I think it'll just be specialty streaming service where, like Netflix, you pay a fee and you have access to this whole library of stuff that is strictly AT&T owned, maybe. So it's like on your fingertips instead of having to watch Flash.
Well, you know, when you break it down and analyze it, I'm going to say right off the bat here, it's almost a little disappointing that initially when you read something like that, the synergies. Yeah. You know, it's all about synergies.
You know, it's all about
it doesn't sound like there's much here.
I agree. The potential, and us three nitwits can't possibly predict what this boardroom exec club is trying to plan for it.
Look, JB, this is how it's going to go down.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Listen, speaking of nitwits, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this show.
You know, I felt we were close, too, guys. I felt we were close to locking the AT&T Time Warner puzzle.
Yeah, they were ready to hire us as marketing executives.
That's right.
Yeah, we're it.
Yeah.
Hey, Time Warner execs, if you want to reach us, we're at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. We're always broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. We're always being produced by Shecky Feldstein and engineered by Chris Owen, and we're always heading out and encouraging you to head out and support your local comic book shop.
Please go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a wonderful day.